Brothers and sisters in Christ, may the God of hope fill you with the peace and joy of believing, that believing you may abound in hope. We base our meditation this morning on Antiphon 4, which in turn is based upon the Word of God in Isaiah chapter 22, verse 22, spoken originally by the Lord to Eliakim, the son of Josiah. It emphasizes that our Lord Jesus Christ is the key of David. Let us read it together. O key of David, scepter of the house of Israel, you open that which no man can close, you close that which no man can open. Come and deliver from captivity, in the line of darkness, and in the shadow of death. The word key is a very important one in our everyday speech. We speak of a key principle. We explore keys to meaning and to the future. The defense in a sports activity, sometimes keys on an opponent. Or we speak of a key play or a key spot or a key point in our life. We explore in our reading the key to a man's thought or understanding. All of these meanings and connotations of the word key are important for us as Christians and important for us as we explore together for a few moments this morning the idea that our Lord Jesus Christ is the key of David. But there is a deeper sense, and perhaps in one sense a simpler sense, in which this appellation is accorded to our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. As you look at the words of this ancient antiphon used in Christian worship in Advent for many, many years, you notice particularly from the last phrases of the antiphon that the picture that is portrayed in it is that of a prisoner lying in his dungeon. And Jesus is portrayed as the key who opens and unlocks that dungeon, who brings light to the captives lying in darkness and in the shadow of death. In other words, the accent of this morning's antiphon is on deliverance from captivity and on Jesus Christ as the one who has the power and authority to do just that. But remarkable words those are. At the end of the antiphon, the picture of all mankind as people who are in the captivity of sin and darkness and death. So many times we tend to forget it, I suppose, as we analyze ourselves and our fellow men, even in seasons like this, when penitence and turning to the Lord and waiting for his return are in fact the key elements of our proclamation and our hope. But what a picture of mankind this is, not simply of people who engage in little peccadilloes or whose faults and foibles and frailties are considered to be the essence of their problems, but men and women, brothers and sisters of all times and all climates and ages and conditions of men, who are indeed, as the words of the antiphon express it, in captivity. We are the prisoners lying in darkness and in the shadow of death. It doesn't take much imagination to imagine what kind of circumstances those must have been for those ancient prisoners lying in the bottom of a dark and unlighted dungeon. The stench, the filth, the pallor, the hopelessness of that condition are readily apparent to us. But it's that kind of language that the scriptures use in describing our condition and the condition of every man. They're not merely people with minor faults and personality defects. We are in captivity. Sin has in fact held us in bondage, and its dark, down there in the dungeon of sin. It's lying in the shadow of death itself that is the lot of every man. But the word of Advent is that there is hope. There is deliverance for the man in the bottom of the dungeon. There is deliverance for you and me, whose door has been opened by Jesus Christ, and yet whose lives continue to be harassed by the devil, the world, and our flesh. Enemies who constantly want to keep us in darkness, who want us to remain captive to sin, who want us to live out our lives in the shadow of death. What is that word? That word is that there is hope, that there is authority and power to unlock the door at the top of that dungeon. And that hope and that authority is to be found in the house of Israel, in him who holds its scepter, in him who is its king, namely David's descendant himself. You can imagine the centuries of hope before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the descendants of David carried on this messianic hope of deliverance for the captive, and how beautifully it was expressed in the reading this morning from Isaiah 49. Brothers and sisters, that's the word from the cross and the tomb and the word of God himself to us this morning. David's descendant has come. He has unlocked that door. And when he unlocked it, do you know how the prophet described it? It is a door which no man can close when he opens it, even as his judgment upon those who don't want it open, is that that which he closes is a door that no man can open. For he is God's Son, whose coming into this world was precisely to unlock the door of sin's dungeon and to lead us out into the light of his new dawn, to offer life eternal to those who lay in the shadow of death. And to us, in a very personal way this morning, as we celebrate the foretaste of heaven that we have in his body and blood, he comes to each one of us individually and says, "Son, daughter, I am come that you might have life and that you might live elsewhere than in the shadow of death, that you might live in God's eternal life itself." As you press that wafer upon your lips and swallow that wine that is his blood, may God speak to each of you in that very personal way, knowing that there is hope, there is freedom, there is deliverance from the bondage of sin and death and devil, for you, as there is for all mankind, in him who is indeed the key of David and the scepter of the house of Israel. Let us pray that antiphon together one more time. O key of David, scepter of the house of Israel, you open that which no man can close. You close that which no man can open. Come and deliver from captivity the prisoner lying in darkness and in the shadow of death. Amen.